Here in Shulchan Aruch Simen Reish Samach Beis, Siv Dalet, they're quoting a Mishnah. This Mishnah appears twice. It appears in Masechah Shabbos and Perek HaBlezer de Mila, and appears again in Erchen. That the Mishnah says, you do a bris either the 8th day, the 9th day, the 10th day, the 11th day, and the Mishnah spells out what the story is. So if a baby is born Bein HaShemashis, let's say today is Wednesday, he says baby is born tonight Bein HaShemashis, so that's a suffix, Bein HaShemashis suffix if it's Wednesday or Thursday. So you can't do the bris next Wednesday, maybe it's Tosmana. Mila Tosmana is not proper. We'll have to discuss what's a din b'dieved. It's a very common practice today that they'll do a bris milah before the 8th day. But people are not observant; they don't know. So that's a machlekes where they have to do a hatovas dan bris or not. Well, we'll have to talk about that later. So the you can't do the bris next week on Wednesday. Maybe it's tochzmanoi. So you have to do the bris on Thursday. What happens if Thursday is Yontif? So on Yontif, Shabbos and Yontif, you're only permitted to do a bris when you perform a bris on Shabbos and Yontif. It's a malacha. It's a question what the malacha is. But it clearly is some kind of a malacha. Some say that it's a malacha of gozes. Like if you cut off hair or you cut off fingernails. Here you cut off the orla. The Shita Mekubetzes has such an opinion that it's gozes. So the Dvar Ram has a tshuva. Says, what kind of gozes? If you cut off a finger, it's gozes. You cut off the hair. The hair keeps on growing. You cut off the fingernail. That's what it's supposed to cut it off. You're not supposed to have long hair, a mile long. So that's gozes. You cut off, you shear off the wool from the back of the sheep. That's gozes. But if you cut off a finger, you cut off the orla. Why is that gozes? So he thinks that it's only gozes by a Jew because it's a mitzvah to cut it off. So it becomes like fingernails and like hair. But if you cut off the orla of a non-Jew, it wouldn't be gozes. That's like cutting off a finger. So some Rishonim say that it's not gozes. They say it's causing chavol, causing bleeding. It's causing bleeding. What's the malach in causing bleeding? So again, there are three opinions in the Rishonim. Rashi, the Rambam says that the chavola causing bleeding on a human being or an animal is a malacha of disha, like you squeeze out the juice from the grapes or from the olives. Mashkemayosim and azesim and avim. So that's disha. That's a malacha that rises here. You're removing the dam from the body is disha. Rashi, that's the Rambam. Rashi Shita is that it's tzoveya, that you make a black and blue mark, it's tzoveya. Tosfos says that's ein tzricha legufo. No one's interested in making the black and blue mark. So Tosfos says that it's ntilas neshama, and they come up with the chiddush, and it says in the chumash, ki adam hu anefesh, since the blood system, the circulation system, is to keep the animal alive. It's interesting. The world of medicine didn't know about blood circulation until pretty recently. And this is a pasuk in Chumash, ki adam hu anefesh, that the circulation of the blood keeps the animal alive. So even, and then Tosfos has a lashon from the Gemara, malikot l'kula, malikot l'palga. Not only is it ntilas neshama, if you kill an animal, if it's dead, if you take out a little blood, the blood is dead, since the blood is to keep the animal alive. That's malikot l'kula, malikot l'palga, that's ntilas neshama. So that's, and then the Achrayim point out that Yerushalmi says, Beferish, like the Rabbein Atah, like Tosfos says, that causing bleeding is the malacha of Shochet, that's called Natilis Neshama, based on Malikot L'Kul, Malikot L'Pal. Yeah, but in order to be Tzvich L'Gufa, you have to be interested in using that dead blood. That's, you're going to take out blood from the person, you're going to test it, whether he has cancer or something. So you're going to use it. That's called Tzvicha L'Gufa. When you do Bris Milo, you use the dam. You don't use the dam. So it should be, there's a machloek, it's Hatanam, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon. If you do a malacha Shem Tzvicha L'Gufa, you created, the Tosfos definition, you created something. Most of the malachas, the 38 out of 39 malachas, in making a Dovah Chodesh. The 39th malacha is haitzah. That's called the malacha grua because you're not creating anything new. It's just that the object is in a different location. So malacha tzricha legufa by haitzah is, let's say, I have money in my pocket on Shabbos. I'm not going to use the money. I'm not going to buy anything. So I'm carrying for no good purpose at all. If I carry my handkerchief because I may need it in the other location, I carry a sefer because I want to read the sefer in the park. I want to read the sefer in the other location. I want to give a shir. That's a malacha tzricha leguf. I'm carrying it. I'm going to use the handkerchief in the other location. I need it there. I don't need it here. I need it there. That's called tzricha leguf. Or if you're choyf a guma and you're going to use the guma. You're not going to use the guma. You just need the offer. You don't need a guma at all. That's ain't tzricha legufa, according to Tosfos' definition. Rashi has a whole different definition of tzricha legufa. So the question is, according to Tosfos, if we paskin, most of the Rishonim paskin, that a malacha is only an isa deraisa, it's a malacha tzricha legufa. So why is there a malacha by bris mila because of the bleeding? According to many Rishonim, it's a malacha because of the bleeding. Does he use the dam? He throws out the dam. He absorbs all the dam in a tissue. He throws it out in the garbage. He doesn't use the dam. So why is that tzvicha legufa? So there's a big machloikis whether when you have a bris mila, do you really need hatofas dam? Let's say you use a clamp. The Agudas Rabbanim kept on this thing for years here in America. The last 100 years that you shouldn't use a clamp because there won't be any hatofas dam. The Gemara only talks about hatofas dam when the baby was nolad mahol. The baby was born and he doesn't have any orla at all. Where is that in the Shulchan Aruch? One is nolad mahol. Here that's in Reish Samach Gimel Siv Dalet. If a baby was born, it doesn't have any orla. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. So we paskin misofik. You have to have hatavas dam bris. Safik or lakusha. We'll have to get that and we'll talk about it. So the Gemara talks about in here the shach, this long shach. In Reish Samach Beis, if cut in Beis, shach is discussing the compromise of the Ramah. So he talks about if a goy did a bris mila, if he did a bris mila balaylo, he's supposed to do it by yom. If he did a bris mila toch shmona, he's supposed to wait till the yom hashmini. So they discuss if there was a mila done by psul, they need a tovas dam bris. But if you're doing a kosher and mila, is there really a need for a tovas dam bris, or is it only needed to substitute for a mila when there is no bris mila? He's not allowed mohol, or the bris mila was done by psul, was done by goy. That's a big question. So the Mishkan is Yankee quotes the Zohar. He often quotes Zohar in his Chuvas. He quotes a Zohar that based on Psukim and Parshas Lech Lecha, that there are three parts to the Bris Mila. There's Mila, there's Priya, and then there's Hatavas Dam. So Tosfos seems to hold like that. The Tosfos at the beginning of Ksuba seems to hold like that. So Tosfos raises this question, why is there a Malacha Deraisa involved in a Bris Mila? If it's ain't Tzricha Legufa, so they say, no, since you're Mekayim a Mitzvah, you're not going to use the dam that comes out from the bris to test it, whether the baby has any sickness or anything. But the fact that it's part of the mitzvah, so that itself makes an inter tzricha legufa. I'm using the dam to be mekayim the mitzvah. If dam wouldn't have come out at the time of the bris mila, it wouldn't fully be yotze. If you do bris mila without atovas dam, according to the Zohar, you're not yotze. So that's so the Dvar Ram has that. He quotes, though, there are different opinions. What's the malacha? So some Rishonim say, the Loshon HaGemara is, Mali, Lesaken, Kli, something like that. Mali, Lesaken, Mila. So a group of Rishonim say that Mila is a malacha on Shabbos because it's called Mesaken Mana on a person. Why is it Mesaken Mana? A person who's an oral is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. When he has a bris mila, then he is permitted to eat korban pesach. So you see, al pi din, the halacha considers it like there's something broken, there's something incomplete in the body of a Jewish man until he has the bris mila, and then he's complete. So that's called mesaken mana. So then there's no raya that you need any dam. Three different shitas. What's the halacha? Is it because of the dam, or is it because of gozes? That's a collector's item, that shita. That's a entertaining that, like a believe it or not of halacha. Rav Soloveitchik never liked Rav Zevin's svarim. He said that all of them are all believe it or not. He always quotes some wild idea from the Ragat Shavar and from other Achron, always wild things. Yeah, but there is such an opinion that Dvar Avram has a true. So again, so if a baby is born tonight, Bein Hashmash is between Wednesday and Thursday, so he can't do the bris next Wednesday, maybe it's Mila Toch Shmaina. And you can't. So, and if Thursday is Yantiv, then you can't do the bris on Yantiv either. What if Thursday is Yantiv Sheni Shal Golias? Wednesday and Thursday next week, 2 days Yantiv. Do you do a Mila Shal Bizman on Yantiv Sheni? So the Mishnah says that you don't. But the Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah was composed in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi lived in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no Yantiv Sheni Shal Golias, only Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah Yantiv Sheni is Yom HaRichta. It has all the chumras of the first day. It's not this. Doesn't have the coolest of Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. What are the coolest of Yantav Sheni Shal Golias? The Gemara says, Mikhalena is also. Mikhalena. For one who has a choli, is a malocha. So, malocha midirabbanan. So, we allow it a Yantav Sheni Shal Golias, even though it's a malocha midirabbanan. He's a chola. We are our refuah. We allow, let's say, to take pills. You're not allowed to take pills on Shabbos. You don't have share refuah. Shem Yishachik Samamanim. In Masech HaShabbos, there are 24 prokim. So there's a whole perek. Shemayna Shvatzim is all about refuah b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to do things that are Mishum refuah. If a person takes schnapps because he has a cold, they say that Sir Arthur Fleming, who invented the penicillin, when he had a cold, he would take schnapps. He wouldn't take penicillin. He held from the old refuahs. So if a person, some people drink schnapps all the time. They say brachan schnapps. So that's a Michael Bream. So that is no Issa refuah. Or let's say a person has a cold and he's drinking extra orange juice. Orange juice has vitamin C. Okay. If he takes pills, the pill that looks like, that's a refuah. That's a shayla refuah. But he's drinking orange juice on Machal Brim. That's not a Shaila Rufur. So that's a big Machlaikas Harishayim. The Mishnah says you're not permitted to do a Mila Shloi Bizmana on the second day Yontif, but the Mishnah only talks about Yontif Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. Yontif Sheni, Rosh Hashanah is Mochomer on Yontif Sheni of Pesach Shavuos. Even in Eretz Yisrael they observe it. It's a Yom HaRich that you don't have the Kula of Mikhalena. You don't have the kula of refuah. That all medications are muta on the second day yontif. So that's a big machlekes, the Rosh and the Rambam, whether you would permit a milu shelo bizmana on yontif sheni. Let's say if the baby would be born tonight, bein hashmashes, between Wednesday and Thursday. So you can't do the bris next week on Wednesday because maybe it's tosh shmeina. What if next week, Wednesday and Thursday, is Yontif? Not Thursday and Friday. What if Wednesday and Thursday are Yontif? So Thursday is Yontif, Sheni Shel Golias. So that's, there's no Mishnah about that. So that's famous. Later on we'll see the Pischei Tshuva quotes in Nari Behuda, that he thinks that should be Mutta Mitam Svek Sveka. Maybe the baby was born Bein Hashmashes, so maybe Bein Hashmashes is Thursday, and it's a Mila Bizmana. Maybe it's a Mila Bizmana. And even if you hold that Bein Hashmash is not Thursday, it's Wednesday, maybe the din is a Mila Shalai Bizmana is Muta on the other Yantav Shenis. Yantav Shenis or Rosh Hashanah, you wouldn't have that Svek Sveka, because that's Beferish in the Mishnah, that Mila Shalai Bizmana is not allowed a Yantav Shenis or Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah only talks about Yantav Shenis or Rosh Hashanah. But on the other Yantav Shenis or Golias, so I remember years ago, a rabbi called me up on the phone. There was a woman in his community, she had twins. So the twins were born a week before Pesach. And the first twin was born before Shkia. So the bris was going to be, let's say, on Wednesday. And the second baby came out during Bein Hashmash. So you have to postpone. So you can't do the bris on Wednesday, Maybe it's a Mila Tel Shmoni. You can't do the Bris on Thursday because it's a Mila. It could be it's a Mila Shalai Bismana. So you have to make the Bris on Friday, the day after Yantav. So he has to make two parties. He has to make one party on Wednesday. The first baby was born on Wednesday before the Shkia. The second baby was born Beit HaShemashes. So he has to make another party on Thursday. He didn't want to make two parties. He didn't want to spend so much money. So I told him that the din is, like the Rabbi Yehuda said, that since the second baby was born, Bein HaShemashes, so next week, Thursday, was the second day Yom Tov. So that's the din. Then on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, it's a Machlokes, the Rosh and the Rambam. And in this case, it was a Sfek Sfek. The baby was born Bein HaShemashes. So maybe Bein HaShemashes is like tomorrow, maybe it's a meal of his manna. And even if it's Bein HaShemashes is like today, it's Wednesday, it's not Thursday, maybe the dinner is like the Rishonim, that Mila Shleib is Manah, it's Mutter, Ayantim Sheni Shal Golias. So that was an easy solution to that problem. When exactly is Bein HaShemashes? So there's a long Bir Agro here, unusually long, in Sivkot and Tess.
The first baby, so it ended in the bris was on Thursday for both babies?
I said it all wrong, I guess. I guess one baby was born Bein HaShemashes, the other baby was born Balayla. I said it all wrong.
I see, so therefore yeah. The baby...
So Lana was born Balayla, for sure the bris is on Thursday. One was born Bein HaShemashes, that was a suffix, that was a sex. You're right.
Yeah.
I didn't say it correctly. So what exactly is Bein HaShemashes? So this is a chunk of history. Here there's a Bir Agros of Kotten Tess. It's very short. And then he has a long Likut. They write in the introduction to the Bir Agros. The Vilna Gaon passed away, so they found a whole bunch of notebooks that he wrote the Bir Agros. And the Bir Agros was intended to give Marmakomis. Every so often there's a Bir Agro who gives you the Marmakomis and he doesn't agree with the din, but he doesn't say that he doesn't agree. We know from other sources that he disagrees. For example, when the Ramah says that you should sit when you say Havdalah, everybody should sit. So the Bir Agro doesn't, he just gives you the Tosfos and Maseches Brachos. But Tosfos says like that, that's the Mocker. But the other Svarim tell you that the Vilna Gaon's practice was that he stood for Havdalah. He sat for Kiddush all the time, but he stood for Havdalah. In the days of the Balei HaTosfos, the practice was, just like by us, by Kiddush, everybody sips the wine. So by Havdalah, everybody had a sip of the wine. Today, nobody has that practice. Everybody drinks part of the wine. So why do you have to sit? You have to sit to be more to the others with Bor Pri HaGofen. But today, we don't have that practice, so all of these hachros of the Vilna Gaon where he disagrees, these are all in a separate notebook. So that's they mark it off. It says Likud, then it says at the end Ad Kan. At the last line, Bir Agro, before Sivkot, it says Ad Kan. That's from the other notebook. The first line was from the Sefer with the Marmakomis. He says Ein Shach means he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. Look in the Shach, it disagrees over here. Anyway, so this is the famous Bir Agro, and he has it more barichas in the Hilchos Shabbosim and Reis HaMachalot. That's what they put in parentheses. The issue with Bein HaShemashes is that there's a contradiction between the two Gemaras. The Gemara in Psochim talks about Derech Rechoika, next to the last Perek. It says, whoever is B'Derech Rechoika, it can't bring Pesach Rishon. Even if he's going to fly there by a jet. What does it mean, Derech Rechoika? That's a machloikas. The Rambam says Derech Rechoika is established, where are you at sunrise on Erev Pesach in the morning? Will you be able to arrive in Yerushalayim by walking, by foot, by Chatzos? Chatzos is the beginning of the Zman of Shechitas HaPesach. Rashi and Tosfos learn not like that. Where are you at Chatzos? Are you at Chatzos? Are you in a location where you will arrive in Yerushalayim before Shkia by foot? So that going by foot as opposed to traveling by horseback, so that we discussed once, that was a machlokes among the Talmidim of the Rebbe Yehuda. Maybe that's only bizman by Srishan, by Sheni. The Gemara talks about, the Mishnah talks about by Sheni. that the average traveler would travel by foot. But today, the average traveler will take a bus or a train or a plane. He's not going to walk by foot. How many people walk by foot? Nobody walks by foot today. So that was a big machlokes among the Talmidim of the Nehru Yehuda, the Tshuva Me'ahava, and other Talmidim. Is the din still the same? Does it still depend on what it says in the Gemara, going by foot? So they say when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, there'll be Tchias HaMeis and we'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu what the din is showing. But what's the din meanwhile until you build the Beis HaMikdash? What do you mean the din meanwhile? We don't have any carbon pestles. So that's relevant for Hilchos Avelos. The din is that if the family is sitting Shiva, years ago they had no telephone, they had no telegraphs. So the family is sitting Shiva, and the son comes to visit his parents, and he comes into the house, and he sees everybody sitting Shiva. Somebody died. And he comes the fifth day of Shiva, the sixth day of Shiva. So the din is, if it depends, Bobby Makam Korayv, Mani Imahim, Bobby Makam Rochek, Mani Li Atzma. If he came from Derech Rechoika, we borrow the concept of Derech Rechoika. That's what Tosfos quotes from the Rif and the Goyim like that. If you're from Derech Rechoika, then you're not mitzaref to the Bnei Abayis, then the person starts Shiva all on his own. But Bobby Makam Korayv, just like one is Makam Korayv on Erev Pesach, either at Chatzos or at Hanetzach Hama, since he plans to be in Yerushalayim, he relates to Yerushalayim if he's Makam Korayv. If he's Derech Rechoika, even if he comes by jet, and they were Makar with a carbon Pesach for him, he's not Yotze. He can't, it's a Machlekes Nigmar. We Paskan, you can't be the Bala Korban of a carbon Pesach if you're B'derech Rechoika when they're shechting it. So when the Gemara is, So when the Gemara is calculating, how do you figure out how far does the average person walk if he's walking from Alos al Shachat till Tzeis al Kochavim? So the Gemara says, and when is Tzeis al Kochavim? Gemara says, Tzeis al Kochavim is the amount of time that it would take to walk 4 milen after the Shkia. So a mil, in the Mishnah Berurah, always says a mil is 18 minutes. Professor Leo Levy, who used to live here in the neighborhood, used to teach physics here in the college. Then later on, he went to be the head of Machon Lev when Professor Lev retired. So he went on to be the head of Machon Lev. I don't think he's alive anymore. So he has a whole book on Zmane Hayom Balocha, Jewish chronometry, he calls it. So he explains that the 18 minutes is clearly a mistake. A sheer mil is really 22 and a half minutes. They must have been working with a different minute system. That different number of seconds in a minute. That more than 60 seconds in a minute. But it's really the cheshbon is from the Gemara. It's pretty obvious. It's 22 and a half minutes. So according to the Gemara, it says HaKachavim is 4 milen after the Shkia. 4 times 22 and a half minutes. That's the Gemara in Pesachim, next to the last pair. Then there's the Gemara about Memadlikim, but Memadlikim, the second pair, Kamasecha Shabbos. The Mishnah talks about Savik HaShecha, Savik Eina HaShecha. What are you allowed to do during Bein HaShemoshes and what are you not allowed to do during Bein HaShemoshes? So the Gemara says, how long is Bein HaShemoshes? The Gemara says, Shlosha Rivei Mil, 3/4 of a mil. Mil is either 18 minutes or 22 and a half minutes, whatever. So 3/4 of a mil. So it's a glaring contradiction. So that's a major machlok, is how do you answer this contradiction? So the Rabbeinu Tam and many of the Rishonim, probably the majority of the Rishonim, say like the Rabbeinu Tam, from the Shkia till Tzeis HaKachavim is 4 mil, but that whole period of time is not Bein HaShemoshes. Only the last 3/4 of a mil is Bein HaShemoshes. The first 3 1/4 mil is Vadayom, which is pretty ridiculous. Vadayom. The Vilna Gaon says, HaChush Makash, he has it over here, in this long piece over here, and he writes the same expression in Hilchos Shabbos and Siman Reish Hamanah. So, Achush Makash, what do you mean? 50 minutes after the Shkia, you can see 1,000 stars in the sky. What do you mean? It's Vadayom. How can it be Vadayom? It says Kol HaKachom. It says HaKachom already. How can it be? So the Vilna Gaon says it's a mistake. He says from the Shkia till Tzeis HaKachom is 3/4 of a mil, depending on what season of the year and what part of the world you live in. Sometimes it'll be less, sometimes it'll be more. Depends on the latitude and the longitude. The Gemara there in Pesachim is talking about Erev Pesach in Yerushalayim, which is near the equator. It's Erev Pesach in Yerushalayim, so it's 3/4 of a mil. If you're some other place, it'll be longer. And the Gemara in Pesachim that says that it's 4 mil, that says Kol HaKachom. That's not the halachic Tzeis HaKachom when it's Vaday Laila. That says Kol HaKachom. It's only relevant for travelers who are walking by foot. They're not going to walk 24 hours a day. They have to rest. Their feet will fall off. So they used to walk from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis Kol HaKachom. But Tzeis HaKachovim, that is Vaday Laila, that says Gimel HaKachovim Beinonim. You don't need Kachovim Ketanim. You don't need that it should be so late at night that you can see Gimel Kochavim Ketanim. It's not enough if you see Gimel Kochavim Gedolim. The Gedolim sometimes are planets, not even Kochavim. And you have to be able to see Gimel Kochavim Beinonim. So that's the big machlokes. The Gro. And the Goyim. The Gro and the Rishonim. Some of the Goyim say like the Gro, that only Gimel Rishonim after the Shkia, that's Bein Hashmashes, then it says Kochavim, and the remaining 3 1/4 mil, that's only relevant for the travelers. How the Mahalachad Nabenani Bayom, if he's walking all day, it's from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis HaKochavim, Tzeis Kol HaKochavim, so he'll walk 40 mil. But it's not the Tzeis HaKochavim for Laila, yeah. The Shach, later, when they talk about a bris milah b'Shabbos, the Shach says he thinks that the Shach lived in Vilna till he had to run away because of the Chmelnytsky riots. There were many goyim who lived in Vilna at that time, so they all had to run away. At the end of his life, he didn't live in Vilna. He died not in Vilna, but I remember years ago when we were touring Lithuania in the summertime. So the tour guide kept on talking about the Vilna Goyim. So I asked the tour guide, what about the Shach? The Shach lived in the Vilna also, where did he live? So the tour guide said, the Shach taught secular studies. He wasn't a rabbi. Good news. The Shach's guy told her, the Shach is quoted much more often than the Vilna Goyim. Is when you have Biruri Halacha. Shach is on the page all the time. Anyway, so that's the big machlek is when is Bein Hashmashes. And the Vilna Gaon says that it's utterly ridiculous. He says it's achush makrish. We see, what do you mean? 50 minutes after the Shkia is Vadayom. How can it be? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes a halacha lemaisa like this. Let's say someone died and he's buried on Wednesday afternoon before the Shkia. Shkia is whatever, 8:15, 8:20. He's buried before the Shkia. So Wednesday counts as the first day of Shiva, even though he only sat Shiva for 5 minutes before the end of the day. And then Wednesday is the first day of Shiva, then Tuesday next week is the seventh day, and Mixes Hayam Kukulos on the morning of Tuesday. You can call it quits. So what happens if the Kvura, the Shiva doesn't begin till after the Kvura? What happens if the Kvura took place during Bein HaShmashes? So we say, whenever there's a Sofik in Avelis, you go to Kula. So Moshe Feinstein says, whenever there's a suffix, so even though the Vilna Goyen holds that it's already Tzeis HaKochavim, let's say 25 minutes after the Shkia, it's already Tzeis HaKochavim, but since the Rabbein Tam holds that it's still Vadayom till 50 minutes after the Shkia, so you can be makel based on the Rabbein Tam. So if the Gvura took place, let's say 40 minutes after the Shkia, according to Rabbein Tam, is Vadayom, so you can rely on the Rabbein Tam to count it as the first day of Shiva, and the Shiva will be over next week on Tuesday morning. So I thought that was a very questionable psak, because the Mishkanes Yankiv has a Sefer on Brachas that's called Koheles Yankiv, and he talks a lot on Daf Yud Aleph on Brachas, it's Daf al Daf, he talks a lot about the concept of Eilu Eiladi V'Elikim Chayim. So he says we have a whole bunch of halachas. The simple reading in the Gemara, Eilu Eiladi V'Elikim Chayim, means when you spend time to learn the opinions of Beis Shammai, so that constitutes Talmud Torah. If I have someone wrote a Sefer, and he's an Amharitz, he wrote silly things, so that's not Talmud Torah. He does not learn, he's writing Dvar Metelim, that's not Talmud Torah. But if you, just because you don't paskin like Beshama does mean that it's Dvarim B'Teilim. Beshama were not conservative rabbis. They were working with the Midrash HaTorah and the Dreshes, man. They were outvoted. So we don't paskin like them, Halacha L'maisa. But the Shita constitutes a Heftu Shel Torah. So that's a simple pshatim mar ele be'ele divel kimchaim. When you study Beshama Shitas, you get reward for a Talmud Torah because it's a Heftu Shel Torah. So the Mishkan is Yankov says, not only is that included in what it says, there's a kima mitzvah, Talmud Torah, but sometimes even halacha lemaisa, it'll be relevant. So he gives you all of the six nafkaminas, ledina, based on eluvel. So take, for example, in Hilchas Avelus, whenever there's any sofik, you go to kula. And whenever there's a machlekes haposkim, you say it's a sofik, even though we have the majority is basilo, even though the majority is one way, lahachmer. But if there's a minority opinion, the Hakel, so I say, it's a Sofik Koldu, Sofik Orla B'chutzlor. So if there's a Machloikis and there's a minority opinion not accepted regarding Orla and Eretz Yisrael, we wouldn't paskin like that. But in the Chutzlor, we would be Mekel, that's called Sofik Orla B'chutzlor. So a lot of rules and regulations, how you work this. So we say, whenever you can say, Eilu Ve'ilu Dibi L'kim Chayim, then you say that it's considered a Sofik Koldu. But over here, the Vilna Gaon says Rabbi Natan is absolutely wrong. He says, "Hachush machish." He says, "Go outside and look at the sky. How can you tell me that 15 minutes after the Shkia is Vadayom, there are 1,000 stars visible in the sky?" So I would think over here, not like Rabbi Moshe. I would think that if it's after the Tzeis HaKocham of the Vilna Gaon, even though it's Vadayom according to Rabbi Natan, how can you even call it a Sofik Koldu? The Gaon says, "Hachush machish." You can't apply elevated divilikim chaim to such a situation. That's questionable.
So why do we find that so many people are machmir for the zman over
bantam?
Like most of the.
So there is an inyan to be choshish for shita out of respect, even if you hold that shita is wrong. But it's dead wrong. It's dead wrong.
So there's no reason to be
associated
for such an
inyan? There is a reason. There's an inyan of Tosefa Shabbos, Masif and Mechol HaKodesh. So how long, let's say, I want to make Tosefa Shabbos till Tuesday night. There is no such thing. I can't be Mekabel Shabbos a Wednesday morning after the Shir Shal Yom, Wednesday we say, L'chun Ra'anana. That's the beginning of the next parak in Tehillim. So we say, L'chun Ra'anana, we're already beginning to prepare for Shabbos on Wednesday morning. But you can't be Mekabel Tosef for Shabbos before Plag HaMincha on Friday afternoon. There's a limit. You can't. So how far is the limit on Matzoi Shabbos? You can't extend Shabbos till Tuesday evening. You can say Havdalah till Tuesday evening. But you can't be Mosi Mechol HaKadosh. So what is the maximum? So Rav Soloveitchik said the name of his father, and he said years later, he found it in Tshuvas HaGoyim, that according to the Vilna Gaon, that Tzeis HaKochavim is around 25 minutes after the Shkia. So Tzeis Kol HaKochavim, the Dalad Milan, that's the maximum you can make Tosef HaShabbos. But according to those who shut him a hold, that's when the real Tzeis HaKochavim is. So then what's the maximum you can be Mosim Mechol HaKodesh Lachar Ehom? So his father said, probably Chatzos, probably midnight. You can't be Mosif past midnight. There's a limit, you can't. So we, those are Choshesh Rabbi Natan. We know it's wrong. We know Rabbi Natan is wrong. But, so it'll be Tosef HaShabbos. Mosif Mechol HaKodesh. Yeah, just, there's an interesting Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara has a suffix when the Kohen Gadol does the Malach of the Torah Samim Daka, and he's makdirit lefnai v'lefnim on the floor. The Mizbach HaKtoris, that's every day they brought Torahs. Machtzisa babak, machtzisa ben abayim, that was in the Hechel. But on Yom Kippur, in addition to that, HaKtoris HaKtoris, he did Torahs lefnai v'lefnim on the floor, on a machta on the floor. So he has to take Malach of the Torah Samim Daka. He sticks in his hands. He takes Malach Hofnam, not a Kemitza. So Gemara has a suffix. What about the Ketoros that got stuck in between his fingers? Is it Kilifnim, and you have to be Makhtar, or is it Kilachutz? It's like the rest of the Ketoros that's left. So the Gemara says, one of the Amoraim raised the suffix, and then it says, Basad the Bayah, the Pashta, after he had the suffix, he came to the conclusion, Sveiko. So what was the conclusion? That's what he didn't know. that reminded us. Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to tape his shiur. He thought he was going to do something with the tapes. They never did anything with the tapes. The tapes are sitting and rotting away. So sometimes he got stuck in the shiur, so he would tell the guy, turn off the tape. Then after thinking, come and he said, okay, turn it on. Then turn it on. He would say, I don't know. Turn it off. So that's what we were waiting for. What's the answer? He says, I don't know. That's the Rishonim asked that question. The Gemara has, and they buy the Leif Shita, whether Beinah Binayim is Kilifnim or Kilachutz, you have to be Makhtarit or not. Basa the Bayu Hada Pashta Sveku. So what's the answer? So the Ritvo has a comment over there. He said, the Sufik was, is it Kilifnim or Kilachutz? And the answer was that it's both. The Aloha recognizes every so often a Tartar is Asri. And whenever you have a Tartar is Asri, you treat it as if it were a Sufik. So the Ritvo gives a mashal like Beinash Moshes. Beinash Moshes have elements of Yom, elements of Laila. And because it's a Tartar is Asri, have elements of Yom, elements of Laila. So therefore we treat it as if it were a Sufik. And there's apparently this idea of Tartar is Asri. Rav Soloveitchik, when he was younger, when he was growing up in Europe, he used to use Davne Nezer a lot. And in Shir, he would say over a lot of times things with Davne Nezer. When he would remember, he would say B'Shem Bamu. Sometimes he didn't remember, but he would say word for word. He'd say exactly word for word with Davne Nezer. Obviously, that's what he saw. Paragraph after paragraph, he would say. In politics also, he used to use the Loshen of Davne Nezer, sometimes on political issues, he would use the Loshen. So the Avnei Nezer has this in a few places. When you have a Tartar is Asri, you have the Mishnais have, let's say there's a different din for Klicheres and a Kli Mateches. The Klicheres not Mekabel Tumim and Atar if you touch it from the outside, only from the inside. And once it's Mekabel Tumim, it has no Tarab in Mikveh. A Kli Mateches is Mekabel Tumim even if you touch it from the outside. It does have Tarab in Mikveh. So what if you have a blend, you made Kalim, it's a lot of times you make a blend. So it's 75% cheres and 25% mateches. Or it's 25% cheres, 75% mateches. So the Mishnah says you go basurai. What if it's exactly 50-50? Hard to tell. What if it's 50-50? So then the sefta has dinim, that since you don't have a roif here, so it's like a tata de sasri, and you treat it as if it were a suffix. And how do you deal with that? So the Avnei has a few tshuvas about that. He talks about a person is Jewish, his mother was Jewish, he was born Jewish. And then he worships Abba the Zohar. It says, Mumar Dina Kak, Mumar Abba the Zohar Dina Kak. So he's both a Jew and a non-Jew at the same time. Or sometimes you have a Kohen, and he's a Cholol, Midirabban, and he's a Cholol, and Torah is still a Kohen. He's a Ben Chalutza. Chalutza is only Asura Midirabban. So if you have a Ben Chalutza, the person is both a Cholol and a Kohen at the same time. You can have Tartar Asas. So Rav Soloveitchik expanded on that idea. Something is both karka and metaltalim at the same time. So he treated it as if a suffix, some dinim he treated. You have to work out all the details. So that's what the Ritva is marshaled by Beinash Moshes. The Ritva says that Beinash Moshes is not a suffix. When does the first day end? When does the second day begin? It's both Yom and Laila. And since it's a Tartar is Asri, so we treat it as if it were a suffix. So it has a lot of differences, halacha l'maisa. Yeah, when exactly is, a lot of times the balabatim know how to learn a little bit. So the balabatim say, why do we have to wait so long to daven ma'ariv ha'matzoi Shabbos? There's an opinion in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi holds that Beinash Moshes ke'erefayim. It's the time that it takes to blink your eye, erefayim. That's a mistake. It does mean the first erefayim after the shkia. The Gemara Nida has two versions of what Rabbi Yossi meant. That he means the Rabbi Yehuda holds that Beinash Moshes is a whole block of time. 20-25 minutes of block of time. So the whole block of time is Beinash Moshes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it starts by Shkia, and it takes 25 minutes, let's say. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's either the last terrifying of Rabbi Yehuda, or the whole block of time Rabbi Yehuda is Vada Yom is the next terrifying. According to one opinion, Rabbi Yossi's terrifying is a half a minute longer than Rabbi Yehuda's. It's not that it's the first terrifying after the Shkia. But about them think that half a minute after the Shkia is already Tzeis HaTuchavim. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's a mistake. And here the Be'er Agro has what he writes in Reish HaMachalav and Hilchos Shabbos also. The Gemara quotes a Braise, when you can see one star, then it's Vada Yom. When you see two stars, it's Beinash Moshes. When you see three stars, it's Tzeis HaTuchavim. So how long does it take between two stars and three stars? If you can say two stars, you can see three stars already. That's a harifying. So the Vilna Gaon says that statement is according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that Be'er HaShemesh is only harifying. So if you see, if you can only see one star, it's Badayom. How can you only see one star? The difference between the ability to see one star, two star, three star is going to be a harifying. So he said that price is only according to Rabbi Yossi, but we're machmir like Rabbi Yudit, that the whole block of time is Be'er HaShemesh. It says Be'er HaShemesh begins at Shkia. Doesn't begin when you're able to see two stars. That's only Aliba. The Rabbi Yossi is like that. Rabbi Yossi all the Be'er HaShemesh is harifying. Here the Pesachei Tshuva in Sivkot and Gimel quotes Rabbi Yankiv Emden. Yankiv Emden had a printing press, so he could print whatever he wanted. He was always attacking Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz. He kept on printing books attacking Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz. Had his own printing press. There's no comparison. They never caught Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz with any mistakes. Yankiv Emden, every other tshuva has a mistake against the Mishnah, against the Gemara. We don't rely so much on Rabbi Yankiv Emden. Anyway, so here he has the following. Let's say the Moel was busy all day long running from one bris to the other to the other. And now the last bris, it's already Shkia. If he's going to do the bris now, it's going to be done during Be'er HaShemesh. So should he wait till tomorrow to do the bris? Or should he do it Be'er HaShemesh? So he says, let him do it Be'er HaShemesh, because it may be a Mila Bismana. He may gain, it's the Yom HaShmini, he may gain of the Mila Bismana. So this totally contradicts what the Pesachei Tshuva writes in Sivkot Dalet. He tells you to look in the Shagas Aryeh, that if you do a bris balayla, you're not yoytze, period. You're not yoytze. So if you hold that, if you do a mila balayla, you're not yoytze, he says, the Shagas Aryeh says, you don't have to do a tafas dan bris. He holds like that shita, like the Ramam shita. That whenever you did a mila b'psul, there's no din of hatavas dam, only hatavas dam bris by nolad mabul. But we don't follow that opinion. We follow this long shach and sivkot and beis. Very similar basis. We'll have to talk about that. So Rabbi Yankiv Emden goes lishitosa. He holds that if you did a bris mila b'layla b'di'evad yoytze, you don't have to do it over again. So if you didn't do the bris yet on the Yom HaShemini, should you do it tonight? Should you wait till tomorrow? But if you do the bris balayla, he thinks that you yoytze. So do it during Be'er HaShemesh. It's a sofek. Maybe you're doing a mila bismana. But since the Pesachei Tshuva Sivkot and Dalet quotes the Shagas Aryeh that if you do a mila balayla, you're not yoytze anything. And Be'er HaShemesh is a sofek. So what are you gaining? You're going to have to do a tavas dam bris again the next day. So this is a stir in the Pesachei Tshuva. The later Achreinim pointed out. There's a collection of tshuvas called Chavatzelas HaShorayim. The big tshuvas were written by Galatian Gedolim. So he was his family name was Babad. He was a great nephew of the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch's family name was Babad. So he always quotes the Minchas Chinuch, and he is very strong in tshuvas. He works out shailas very well. Anyway, so he points this out, that there's a stira between Sivkot and Gimel, Sivkot and Dal. He quotes the Yavetz that you should do a bris during Be'er HaShemesh if it's like the Ramoilim who follow that. And that contradicts what it says in Sivkot and Dal. He quotes the Shagas Aryeh, if you do a mila balayla, it's absolutely possible. And we would require you should do a tovas dam bris, do it over again. So you shouldn't do a bris during Be'er HaShemesh. That's not really correct. A lot of things that Rabbi Yankiv Emden says, we just don't follow them at all. Yeah, here, we started Reish Lamed Beis yesterday. You can't perform the bris till you're not supposed to do the bris till the Yom HaShemini. But after the Yom HaShemini, can you do it balayla? If it's a milu shalav bismana, can you do it balayla? So that's a machlokes hatanaim. We paskin no. That's the mechaber and sif aleph. The last line is sif aleph. Afilu milu shalav bismana ein ela bayom. Should be dafke bayom. So So then the Rama says, what's the din if you did the bris toch shmeina, or you did the bris balayla? Overall, balayla tzorach lachsa lohot men adam bris. However, mola toch shmeina ubayoim yotza. If you did the mila toch shmeina, b'yevad you would be yotza. You wouldn't have to repeat it with hatavas dam bris. So there is a sheet. The Gemara Maseches Avod Zorah Daf Chav Zayin learns that from Psukim. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch later in Reish Samach Dalet, the first sif, that a non-Jew should not serve as a moel. Can a woman, a Jewish woman, can a woman serve as a moel? So that's a machlokes amoraim in the Gemara. Which pasuk is it that you learn out that a nochri cannot be mal? If you learn it out from the pasuk that you have to have a ben bris, someone has a shaychus with the bris, so the women are Jewish also. But if you learn out from a pasuk that only hamol yimol, so then a woman cannot, either way a goy cannot be a moel. He doesn't have a bris mila, even if he has circumcision, it's not called a bris mila. Unless if the goy had the circumcision, the shem gerus, then he's no longer called an oral. But if the goy had the circumcision for the hygienic purposes, many nochem do circumcision for health purposes, so then it's still called an oral. So nochri cannot be a moel. And nafkamina, whether it's pasuk A or pasuk B, the Gemara Navad Azar has, nafkamina is whether isha is ksheva lo molana. How do we pass on halacha lamaisa? So the Rama over there says, the Chaber writes that isha is ksheva lo mol. Afil ebed v'isha, isha ksheva lo mol. The Rama says, yeshomrim, that you should try to avoid. You should try to avoid having a woman do the bris mila because it's a machlokes amoraim and the Gemara. If you don't have a man to do the bris mila, I think the Shach maybe says that. If it's the Yom HaShmini and the only one you have who can do the bris mila is a woman, then we would follow that opinion that a woman can do a bris mila. If you have a shas al tach, but if you have a shas al tach, we should avoid it because it's a machlekes in the Gemara. So what if a nochri did the bris mila? So the Rambam says a nochri should not do the bris mila, but if you did the bris mila, you don't have to do a hatofas dam bris. So the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam understood the Rambam to have understood the Gemara that the goy is only posel lachatchila, but b'yevid the mila of the goy is kosher and you don't have to repeat it. And the Shagazari says, no, that's not pshat in the Rambam. If the goy does the bris mila, it's no good l'chadchil, it's no good b'yev, but there's nothing to do hatovas dam bris about. There's no way to rectify it. The only time the Gemara talks about hatovas dam bris, we said, is if you have a noilad mahu, if the baby was born, it doesn't have any orla, that's in Reish Samah Gimel, Siv Dalet. The baby was born without any skin covering over the Eva HaZachrus. So then you need Atovas Dambris. But if you had an orlo and you removed it, so there's no room to do Atovas Dambris. So that Ramah we don't paskin like. Here, this Ramah in Reish Samach Beis and Sifal Ramah says, if there were Mal Balayla, you have to do Atovas Dambris. But if he did the Mila Toch Shmona B'Yevet Bayom, then you don't have to do Atovas Dambris. So the Ramo sometimes yes, sometimes no. So the Shach disagrees with this Ramo. He says he doesn't understand the compromise over here. Toch Shmona is no good and Balayla is no good. So if you did the Bris Mila Balayla, you would require Tovas Dam Bris. So then if a Goy does the Mila, you would require Tovas Dam Bris. And if you didn't Toch Shmona, you would require Tovas Dam Bris. All the cases would require Tovas Dam Bris. That's the Psak HaMekubal. Whenever the Bris was done, Shaloi Kedin, you need a Tovas Dam Bris. There's room to argue the point and say just the reverse. When the baby was born with an orla and the mila was done with psul, then you have to have a tavas dambris. If the baby is born without any orla, so then there is no tavas dambris. Let's say the baby is nolad mohol and you're going to make a nick on his finger and cause a little bleeding. So that's not a tavas dambris. Tavas dambris has to be on the Eber HaZachrus. But this baby was born without any orla. So there's nothing to do at Tavas Dam Bris about. But if the baby was born with our law and it was removed shaloi kedin balayla or etoch shmaina or ideyakum, so you can say there you need atavas dambris because there was an orla and it's called dambris because there was an orla. But if the baby was nolad mo, there is an opinion in the Gemara that you don't need atavas dambris. Machlekes hatanoi, machlekes avishanim out of paskin. So here in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalet, Reish Tamagim Sif Dalet, if the baby was nolad mo, you do atavas dambris, but believe bracha. So the Vilna Gaon says, why? Because it's a suffix. So he goes, suffix lechumra. Suffix lechumra, but you don't say a bracha because suffix bracha is lehakam. Yeah. Because it's suffix bracha is lehakam. Then in Reish Hamabesiv base, sometimes you have to postpone a bris. When do you postpone? So how long do you postpone? So the Gemara distinguishes whether the baby is chayla kol gufo or only chayla aver echad. If only one aver has a problem, then you postpone the bris till the baby is healthy enough to have the bris done. Then you do it right away. But if it's chayla kol gufo, then you have to wait till the baby gets better, and then you have to wait 7 full days. The doctors, let's say, said 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the baby is healthy enough, we're going to release him from the hospital, he can perform the bris milah, so we'll wait another 7 days till next week, next Wednesday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we'll do the bris milah. You have to wait 7 full days, meislais. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to tell. A layman can't tell when is it called chola kol gufoi. One is to call chola be'ever echot, so that you have to have a learned doctor. You need a learned doctor who knows what's called chola kol gufoy, what's called chola be'ever echot. There is a discussion in the poskim. What if, let's say, it was chola kol gufoy, and the doctors say Wednesday, 3 o'clock, they say, baby's healthy, you can take him home. You can do the bris, so we have to wait till next Wednesday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So 3:01, we can do the bris. What if the mole went ahead and he did the bris in the middle of the week because the doctor said everything is fine, and the halacha says he's supposed to wait? So is that like nimel toch shmoina and amila toch saman? We paskin like the shach that you have to do hatovas dam bris over again. But he say no. Here the baby's right 2 months old. It was born a long time ago. It was chayla kol agufa, we didn't do the bris. But now we have a suffix if he's healthy or not. So you should wait 7 full days, meislais, till next Wednesday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you shouldn't have done the bris in the middle. But if you do the bris and the baby survives, it's good. So that's a discussion. There are some poskim say that even b'di'evit, if you do the bris in the middle of those 7 days, meislais, it won't be kosher b'di'evit. Why not? They hold that's called like Mila Toch Shmoina. There's a famous kasha that Achrayim work on. The Gemara has a statement, the last daf in Kiddushin. The Gemara says, Kim Avraham Avinu kol atarkul atchalei nitna. Avraham Avinu had the ability to figure out what the mitzvahs are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him. So the Midrashim explained that Avraham Avinu had kloyas yoatos, his kidneys. Help them understand. The Gemara thinks that the sechel comes from the kidneys. We usually assume it comes from the brains. The Gemara talks about kloyas yotze, whatever. He was able to look in the world and to figure out what the mitzvahs are. So he volunteered to do all the mitzvahs, even though the Baruch Shem didn't instruct him to. So all the Mefarshim asked the kasha, why did he wait till he was instructed to do the bris milah? Should have done the bris milah on his own. Should have been able to figure out. All the Midrashim say in the first pasuk in Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu istakled be'araisa boras ha'olam. Baruch Hashem looked into the Torah. Torah was the blueprint of the whole world. So if you look into the world, you should be able to figure out what the blueprint is. I remember when I was a little boy in school, so they told us we have to go home, and the homework was to draw a blueprint of the home where you live. That time I lived in Philadelphia. So you can figure out. You draw a blueprint. So if you look in the world, you should be able to figure out what the mitzvahs in the Torah are, because the Rebbe Shalom looked into the Torah. That was a blueprint for the world. So that's what they ask Akasha. Why didn't they do bris milah on his own? So they give the answer from Adavala Soloveitchik. the Gemara has a din that a Kohen who's an Orel is not permitted to eat Truma. That's in Perek Orel and Yevamos. A Kohen who didn't have a Bris Milah is not allowed to eat Truma. So the Gemara has a suffix. What if a Kohen's wife has a baby boy? Not only a Kohen is old, not allowed to eat Truma, not allowed to eat, if you have Shemesh or Truma, the Kohen is allowed to use it to smear it on his body. But what if you have a baby who is not yet 8 days old? His father's a Kohen, and the Mele, he was born a Kohen, and he doesn't have a bris milah till the morning of the 8th day. Are you permitted Ma'alusuch and Shemesh al Truma? So in the Bavli, it's in the Bayadala of Shita, but all the Rishonim quote, the Rishonim is Poshet, that he is permitted to eat Truma. Why? He's not called an Orel. He's only called an Orel. And when it comes to Yom HaShmini, Yom Mechuyev to do the Bris Milah. So that's what Rabbi Elbel Soloveitchik said. If he's not called an Orel, so he won't be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Avraham Avinu can volunteer to shake a lulav, he can volunteer to sit in the sukkah, he can volunteer to make tzitzis, but he can't volunteer to do a Bris Milah. Because the whole idea of a Bris Milah is to take an Orel and to convert him into a Mohel. But if you're not Mitzvah, so it's not called Orlo. Just like before the 8th day. It's not called an oral. So too, before you're in mitztaveh, there's no kiyum mitzvah. So that's a question over here. Let's say the Shagasarya has an interesting essay. He writes, "Kotn oral muta l'sucha shem shal truma." The first 8 days before the bris, the baby is not called an oral. You let it shmir with oil. That's the Yerushalmi is poshut to shaila. So what about leil shmini? When is a chiyuv milah chal? Is it chal the morning of the 8th day? Or is it chal the night of the 8th day? We say vayere vayverka hayom halach achra laila. They always announce on the radio at sundown. Sabbath begins at sundown. Yom Kippur begins at sundown. All the Jewish holidays go from sundown. So since the Yom HaShmini begins from the night before the 8th day, so maybe the night time there's a chiyuv milah. It won't be kosher balayla. You have to wait till the morning. So the Shagasai quotes a Gemara, and he makes a tushtal, and he thinks that the mut cotton oral mut of the Sukh Hashem Shal Truma is only up until Leil Shmini, but Leil Shmini you're not allowed to. Right. So the Pri Yitzchok is by Rabbi Zalat Peterburger. He was the rabbi in St. Petersburg. His name was Rabbi Yitzchok Blazer. He was the, we spoke yesterday. Oh, that was a different shia. We say things from Pri Yitzchok all the time. He was the most outstanding student of Rabbi Sol Salanter in learning, and he was the one who was mefarsim the whole Shita Musa. He was the one who wrote up Rabbi Sol Salanter Shita. So he has very strong tshuvas pre Yitzchak. So he says the Shagasari forgot the whole shtickel Torah that he has is locked, stock, and barrel in the Yerushalmi. The whole thing, that beginning Leil Shmini, the Chiyuv Milah begins Leil Shmini. So he does have a din of Aro, even though if you'll do the bris balayla, it'll be possible. But the Chiyuv Milah doesn't begin the morning of the 8th day. It begins the night of the 8th day, the night after the 7th day, beginning of the 8th day. So that's what Rav Elbel Soloveitchik said. Why didn't Avraham Avinu volunteer on his own to fulfill a mitzvah bris milah before he was mitzvah? He says he won't accomplish anything. Shake a lulav, you'll accomplish. Sit and suk, you'll accomplish. But to do a bris milah, if he's going to be an oral, he wasn't an oral before. And if you do the bris milah, you didn't accomplish anything. You have to first be an oral and then remove it. So that's the shaila over here. If a person, the baby hasn't had a bris for the last 2 months, and the doctors say you have to wait another bit of time, and the rabbis say you have to wait 7 full days, you shouldn't do the bris now, you have to wait 7 full days after the doctors say the baby's okay if it's chol kol haguf. So whenever you're not allowed to do the bris, and it's already after the 8th day, whenever you're not allowed to do the bris because of sakonas nefashas, so do you say the baby's not an oral? There's no chiyuv milah at all. The baby's not an oral. Or you say the baby's an oral, but you can't do the bris. So we mentioned yesterday that there's a balamor. We'll have to explain the balamor. There's a gemara in Psochim that the Balamor quotes, that if you perform a bris milah on a baby, the baby dies because of the bris milah, you weren't yotze the mitzvah. The bris milah has to be a successful surgery. If the baby dies, you weren't yotze. So if the doctors say the baby is bisakana, maybe the pshat is because of sakana sefashis. There's no chiyuv mila at all. There is a discussion in the Rosh at the end of Yuma, when you have pikoch nefesh, is doicha kola tarakula, the makam sakana sefashis, you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, you're permitted to eat chametz but Pesach. When the Jews were in the concentration camps, they gave them a tray for food to eat. They had no choice. It was a suffix. Even with eating the food, it was a suffix if they're going to survive. They gave them so little food to eat. So they had no choice. They were permitted to eat tray for food. So whenever you say Pikoch Nefesh, you say the Isurim Dechuyim, or you say Hutra. Is it Hutra? The whole din doesn't apply. I say, no. There is an issue of kashrus, but the Pikoch Nefesh overrides the issue of kashrus. Is it Tchuya Hutra? Says some poskim say, if you look in the Pischei Tshuva later, in Hilchus Avelos, Pischei Tshuva quotes a Chasam Sefer, who claims that it's a difference between Shabbos and Macholos Asuris. The Shabbos is an Issa Zman, so that's Hutra, Heta Gomer. Hashem came Macholos Asuris, the Heftza Straith. How can you say Hutra? So that's the Tchuya. Pikoch Nefesh is Doiche by other Isurim. But by Shabbos, you have a separate posik. So by Shabbos is Hutra. So it's a discussion whether Pikoch Nefesh is Decha Kola Tarkula or B'makim Pikoch Nefesh, all the Isurim are Hutra. So it could well be that this will happen afkemina. If the baby is Bisakwane, if you'll perform the Bris Mila, and if you'll perform the Bris and the baby dies, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah. So how can you say that you're Mechuyiv? Maybe the Pshat, there's no Chiyiv to do the Bris Mila at all. No Chiyiv, so he's not called an Oral. Maybe he's not called an oral. So then even if you do the Bris Mila, maybe you won't be Yotze anything. I think the Maram Shik has a tshuva. A person had a heart condition. So he had a chazaka. He was always the Baal Tekeh and Shul for years and years. So the doctor said he should stop blowing shofar because he's going to strain himself too much. He can get a heart attack and he'll drop dead. So he didn't listen. And he blew the shofar. And he didn't get any heart attack. So he was bragging, you see. So the Maram Shik Paskin, they have to listen to the Tekiyas over again. Nobody was Yotzi. Because since it was a questionable psak, since this person has a heart condition, and for him it's a suffix sakana, so he's not Mechuyiv in Tekiyas Shofar. Mishenim Mechuyiv Badover, and Motzi Acherim is Dechevosom. So therefore he can't be Motzi the others. So even B'dievet, he said, you're not Yotzi. So that's a very questionable psak. He's not Potter. He can't be the Baal Tekiyah. If I have a heart condition, I can't hear. I'm not going to get a heart attack from listening to someone else blowing shofar. I am a chayiv in tekiyah. I'm a chayiv to listen to someone else. I'm not allowed to be that took care of myself. But to say that he's ain't a chayiv adover, that's a stretch. That's quite a problematic stretch. But it could be along those lines, this shayla over here. It's a discussion in the later poskim. If the moel went ahead, they did the bris, when the baby was bisakana, or in the 7 days after the doctor said the baby is no longer bisakana, so the Gemara says you have to wait a full 7 days. So what if the moel went ahead and he did the bris and the baby did survive? Would you say that he bid yevid you're not yotze? Like Rav Elbala said, Avraham Avinu couldn't volunteer to do the bris mila before he was in stava, before yimitsu, not called an oral, not a called an oral, you don't accomplish anything by doing the bris mila. The mitzvah is to remove the orla and to be a mohu. So that's there's room for debate over here. It is an issue. I mentioned there's a balamor. It's good to know the balamor. There's a gemara in Shabbos towards the end of the first perek. I think you test some at Aleph, if I'm not mistaken. So the gemara has a din. You're not allowed to go on a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos. We usually assume Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The Vilna Gaon Paskin says Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. 3 days include Shabbos. Usually everybody assumes not like the Vilna Gaon. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You're not allowed to go on a boat trip. Why not? So the different pshatim. What's the issa? So the Baal Hamor has his own pshat in that gemara, because there may be a sakana at sea, and then they'll expect all of the passengers on the boat. Today it never happens. If something goes wrong with the boat, the passengers don't know the first thing about helping out, and the sailor's going to take care of everything. But that's how the Baal Hamor interprets pshat and that brisa. Ei matligim b'sfina gimel yom kodem haShabbos, because something may go wrong, and then they'll require all the passengers to help out. and then it'll come out they may have to be Mechallel Shabbos. And the last, we divide the week into two parts. The first 3 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, is called Lebasa Shabbata. That's why you can say Havdalah till Tuesday night. That's Lebasa Shabbata. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's called Mikami Shabbata. So that's a Gemara in Gittin. When you write a get, there's a Takana of the Rabban, you have to write Zman. If they might tick Zman be Gittin. Gemara said, there's a Takana of the Rabban, you have to write Zman. So you usually write what day of the week, what month it is, what day of the month, and what year. So what if they didn't write explicitly? They wrote Bishnas Tavshin Pei Gimel. They didn't write what day of the week, what day of the month. So if they have it, it's also good. What if they didn't write what day of the week? They wrote it was Lebasa Shabbata Parshas Bamidbar. They didn't. What Basa Shabbata? Basa Shabbata means Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, one of the 3 days. Well, they said Mikami Shabbata Parshas Noso. Mikami Shabbata means it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But they didn't specify which day, so b'di'evit the get is good. That's good enough, b'di'evit for Zman. So in the Losh, in the Gemara, you can say, this idea, Basa Shabbat and Mekam Shabbat, a shtar has to be written b'loshem b'ri'odom. So if you wrote a get, and you wrote such a vague Zman, then loshem b'ri'odom, it's one of those 3 days, and one of those 3 days. Maybe it's just a din, and loshem b'ri'odom. So the Balamar says, no, it's a halacha. You're mechuyev to start worrying about Shmira Shabbos, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 3 days before Shabbos, you have to be concerned. Just like 3 days after Shabbos, you can say Havdalah till Tuesday evening. So the last 3 days, Al Pidin is Mikami Shabbata, Mechuyev to worry. So if I'm going to go on a boat trip on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I know in advance, the boats are not so sturdy, and every so often there's a breakdown, and they'll expect all of the passengers to help the movement of the boat. And I may have to be called on to be Mechal Shabbos. So that's Machnes Satzo Lematzav Shal Pikoch Nefesh. If a person falls into a situation of Sakonis Nefoshes, he got no choice. Pikoch Nefesh Derech HaKolot HaRukulah. It's Derech HaShabbos. But in the concentration camps, they had to do Meloch in Siberia. They all had to do Meloch on Shabbos also. Otherwise, they would kill him. But to put yourself in a situation where you have to be, where you may have to be Mechal Shabbos, not Vadi. Even you may have to be Mechal Shabbos, you're not allowed to. Unless the Gemara says, you're going to Dvar Mitzvah. Let's say the boat trip, he's moving to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to move to Eretz Yisrael, that's a mitzvah. What if he's going to Eretz Yisrael for a visit? He's going to go back to America. Is visiting Eretz Yisrael also called a mitzvah? Is it only mitzvah? You're going to move to Eretz Yisrael permanently. So the Magen Avraham, and that's Simon, Hilchos Erev Shabbos, Magen Avraham quotes a Machlokes Achronim, whether visiting Eretz Yisrael, is there a partial mitzvah? So that's what some Achranim said. There's a partial mitzvah if you walk Dalai Lama's in Eretz Yisrael. Any Dalai Lama's that you walk is a Kiyama mitzvah. And others say, no, it's only called a mitzvah if you're going to live permanently in Eretz Yisrael. Then others say, it depends if you're going to live there for more than 30 days, less than 30 days, more than 12 months, less than 12 months. Because the Gemara in Bava Basra sometimes, Sanhedrin, the Gemara sometimes has dinim that depend on living there 30 days, and sometimes there are dinim that depend on living there 12 months. So some Achranim say, if you're going to, let's say, a student is going to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year. So you can either make the tikkun in such a way he'll stay there a little more than 12 months or a little less than 12 months. Or you're going for the summer. You can either make your tikkun, you'll be there for less than 30 days or more than 30 days. So you should always make it for slightly more than 30 days. Maybe the din is, if you're there for 30 days, there's a partial Kiyama Mitzvah. The Kiyama Mitzvah Vishlim Musa is to live in Eretz Yisrael permanently. But if you live partially, so there are different opinions. Whether Dalai Lama is walking, Shloshim Yom, or Yud Beis Chodesh, what's considered a partial Kiyama Mitzvah. So the Rabbi Mizrahi Alevi, the Balamar learns that's the reason for this din. Because it's Nirik, it looks as if he's putting himself, Maftan Satsun, the Matzil Shol, Sakonas Tufash, is not allowed to. But b'mokam mitzvah you're allowed to. If you're going to live in Eretz Yisrael, or you're going to some other mitzvah, it's mutam. So that's one balamor. Then there's another balamor commenting on a gemara in Erevin. The gemara tells, in the days of the gemara, it was considered a serious sakana to perform a bris milah if you don't bathe the baby with warm water before and after the bris. Rabbi Yosef Akara writes in the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Scott lived in the 1500s in Tzvat. He says the hygienic conditions are much better today. We don't bathe the baby with warm water, not before the bris, not after the bris, and nothing happens, and it doesn't apply. Whatever the Gemara says is sakana, it depends what the doctors of your generation say. Bein l'hokal, bein l'hachmer. So the doctors in the generation of Rabbi Yosef Kara said, no, sakana, so it's not a sakana. And the Shmira Shabbos Kol Chosa, he paskins not so. He says, whatever it says in the Gemara says sakana, even though today they say it's not a sakana, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, because it says in the Gemara it's a sakana. And whatever the doctors today say is a sakana, even though the Gemara says not sakana, you have to go to Chumrah. Always in both directions. So that's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says Beferish. In the days of the Gemara, if a baby had a bris on Shabbos, and you don't have warm water to bathe him after the bris, it says you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to heat up the water on Shabbos because it's a suffix sakana. And today Rabbi Sakar says we just don't do it, not before, not after. We don't follow the Gemara. We don't follow the Gemara. We do like the Gemara. The Gemara, they follow the doctors of their generation. So we also follow the doctors of our generation. So Bein Lahokl Bein Lahachmi, follow the doctors of your generation. So there's a Gemara in Erevin. Gemara tells the story, Ahu Yenuke, there was a baby boy who was born last Shabbos, and the bris is scheduled for this Shabbos. So they had warm water prepared to bathe the baby before and after the bris. And then the warm water spilled. All the water spilled out accidentally. Ahu Yenuke, dishtapech hamima. All the warm water spilled out. So the Gemara says, if there's a nochri, and it's a chotze she'enem u'reves, it's a b'shus ha'yochid, but we didn't put away a box of matzahs, don't b'shutfas, by all the shamashab. So it's only awesome in the Rabbanah to carry, and a chotze she'enem u'reves, it's a b'shus ha'yochid, with an isa tiltel. That was invented by Shlomo HaMelech, that idea, of that there's such a thing, b'shus ha'yochid, with an isa tiltel, chotze she'enem u'reves. So the Gemara says, if there's an Ochri, so ask the Ochri to carry the warm water from the other apartment to this apartment, that's Shvuz, the Shvuz, B'makamitzvah's Mila, is Mutter. And Taisus in Gittin, we learned that Taisus in Gittin, Avchesam, and Beis, has a two opinion. What about Shvuz, the Shvuz, Makam, a different mitzvah, not Mitzvah's Mila, we make them. But in the Gemara, it's only by Bris Mila, that's the original Gemara. So the question is, what if there's a baby whose Bris is on Shabbos, and we have warm water, we bathe the baby with the warm water, and then we're about to do the bris, and then we realize there's not enough warm water to bathe the baby after the bris. And the Gemara, in the days of the Gemara, bathing the baby before and after is necessary for the suffix sakana. So, are we allowed to do the bris? There was enough warm water to bathe the baby before. Are you allowed to do the bris? Because when you do the bris, you're going to putting yourself into a situation, and there's no nochem around, so you're going to have to be mechal Shabbos. You're going to have to cook water on Shabbos in order to take the baby out of the suffix sakana. So maybe that's called machnas atzmo, the suffix sakana. So that's a famous machlokes, is the Balamor and the Ramban. So the Ramban coins an expression, Eile mitzvah le mekayma v'shaita. I'm minding my own business. It's a mila bismana. If I didn't have any warm water to bathe the baby before the bris, I'm not allowed to heat up water on Shabbos. That's called machshire mila. Machshire mila, not decha Shabbos. But I had enough warm water, so I bathed the baby before the bris, and then I performed the bris. Then I fell into a sofek sakana. Don't tell me I'm not allowed to perform the bris. He coined an expression: ela mitzvah ela mikayim avishayta. That's it's a takeoff on the Loshon HaMishnah in LaHegdash Alam Bekayim HaVishayta. That's an expression in Mishnah in Erechin. Let's say someone's Magdish an automobile. So HaHegdash, the Gizbush HaHegdash auctions it off to the highest bidder, and the money goes to HaHegdash, and the guy takes the automobile. The automobile, if you sell this automobile in New Guinea, you can get twice as much money as get if you sell it in New York or if you sell it in Yerushalayim. That's why there was a whole group of gangsters who were stealing Lexuses from New York and sending them to Africa, and they sold it there for twice as much as it sold in America. So once I was coming home from a shir on a Tuesday night, and the boy was driving in his father's car. His car was at the mechanic, and he was driving in his father's car, Lexus, and they stole the car at gunpoint. They forced all four of us to get out, me and my daughter, and the two Talmidim, they forced us out, and they left us on the highway. They left us on the highway. And then and this boy, when he was single, at that time he was single, used to work for his father. His father used to sell used clothing in Africa. So when the police called him that they have his Lexus, they were almost going to give him the Lexus in Africa. He was in Africa at the time when they called him on the phone. So the Mishnah has a, let's say, the fellow who donated the car, let's say, lives in New York. And the car in New York sells for $40,000. But if you sell it in South Africa or other parts of Africa, it'll sell for $80,000. So and he wants Hegdash to get the maximum. So the Mishnah says, no, Eila Hegdash on the Makom of Mishak. It depends where is the car located now at this time today. Let's say it's a seasonal thing. Summer clothing sells for more money in the summertime than in winter. Fur coats, they charge more in the winter than in the summer. So let's say he was Magdash a fur coat in the summertime. And then they're auctioning it off to the highest bidder. If they'll wait till the wintertime, they'll get more money. But if they're auctioning it off today in the summertime, so that's the Mishnah and Erechen. And the Hegdash al HaMakom of HaShaitan. So the Ramban paraphrases that Lashon HaMishnah. And the Mitzvah al HaMakom of HaShaitan. He says, the baby was bathed with the warm water, and you want to do the bris? Do the bris milah. You're not mechayev to worry what's going to be after the bris. You'll be able to be Mechal Shabbos. It'll be Pekrof Nevesh. There's nothing wrong with that. So we really don't, we're machma like the Balamor in the Shulchan Aruch. If you know in advance that you don't have warm water to bathe the baby after the bris, you shouldn't do the bris milah on Shabbos. So the Achronim is kakasha, it's a steer in the Balamor. Balamor himself said, you're not allowed to put yourself in a situation where you'll have to be mechal Shabbos, unless b'mokam nitzvah, the Gemara says, it is mutter. Hey, mafligam is fina on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but if you go on Teretz Yisrael b'mokam nitzvah, you are allowed to. Here you want to do a bris milah. So why does it say that you're not allowed to perform the bris milah? Because you're going to get involved later with chilul Shabbos. But he himself learned the Gemara and offered you tests in Masechah Shabbos that the Gemara says b'mokam nitzvah is mutter. So Rav Soloveitchik wrote a whole tshuva in English for Dr. Belkin on this topic. Why? Because when I was a student in yeshiva, they used to have a geirel. They insisted that a few of the students who get smicha have to serve in the chaplaincy. Because for many years, the only chaplains would be Reform and Conservative, and the Orthodox didn't give any chaplains. So the yeshiva insisted that all the boys have to participate in a lottery, and whoever's the lucky winner has to go to the chaplaincy. I remember, at that time, I was not from the lucky winners. And I remember the fellow who was supposed to go to chaplaincy, he didn't want to. He was in mathematics. So he was a student in Belfer, which is a higher school of mathematics. So they dropped him. And then he couldn't go to any graduate school in America because the yeshiva would give a negative report. He had to run away to Australia. They never gave him smicha. He had to go to Australia. He married a girl in Australia, had a few children, then he got divorced. It didn't work out. And it was, they ruined his life because it is Guru. So the students were rioting about this. What right do they have to force us to go to the chaplaincy? So Dr. Belkin says he has a tshuva from Rabbi Soloveitchik that it's mutter. So the students insisted they want to see the tshuva. So Dr. Belkin gave it to one of the students, but he promised he's not going to make a Xerox copy of it. So he took it right away. First thing, he made a Xerox copy. And the next day, he gave it back to Dr. Belkin. So everybody read the tshuva. It's in English. It's probably printed now in the book, Collection of Letters of Rabbi Soloveitchik. The guy who put out that book also had access to it. So the tshuva has nothing at all about the lottery. Tshuva is, am I allowed to volunteer to the chaplaincy? Is that called Machnas Atzma? If you're going to volunteer to serve in the chaplaincy, there are a few Orthodox chaplains, but they say every so often they have to be Mechal Shabbos. They put him in a situation where there's going to be a Sakonis Nefoshos. They don't always stay in the army base here in America. They have to go to the war zones. So sometimes they have to be Mechal Shabbos. So that was Rabbi Soloveitchik's tshuva. How do you resolve this steer in the Balamor? When do you say that B'makom Mitzvah is mutter to volunteer, mutter to put yourself in a situation? B'makom Mitzvah is mutter to put something where you may have to be Mechal Shabbos. When do you say it's awesome? Steer in the Balamor. So he gave two suggestions. I think the Dvar Avraham talks about this in his Jews. the stira and the balamar sarav. So Rashi gave two suggestions in the tshuva, and then Baal Peh, he said a third suggestion. So one suggestion was, in the case of the ship, you're going to go on a ship Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's a suffix. It's not a vada. Here, when you're going to do the bris, it's vada you're going to have to, and there's no nochri, you're going to have to cook up water afterwards. So if it's going to be a vada, machnas atzma le chilu shabbos, then you're not allowed to. But makam mitzvah's mutam is going to be a suffix. That was one suggestion. Then he gave another suggestion. Maybe the difference is the bris you're doing on Shabbos. Here you're talking about taking off on the ship 3 days before Shabbos, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So machnas atzmo, mikami shabbata, 3 days before Shabbos, you shouldn't go on the ship, mikami shabbata, even though it's not Shabbos itself. But b'makam mitzvah is mutter. But if it's on Shabbos, even b'makam mitzvah, it wouldn't allow. So these were the two suggestions that he gave over there. And he said, over there, it's not a vaday that you're going to have to be mechal Shabbos in the chaplain. Saying you're not volunteering to the chaplain on Shabbos. Based on either answer, it should be mutter over here. The makam mitzvah is mutter to put yourself in a situation. It's a makam mitzvah to serve as a chaplain. They need a soldier. The Jewish soldiers need a little bit of guidance in the army. They can use an Orthodox chaplain. But Baal Peh, Rabbi Soloveitchik, suggested on another occasion a different teretz on the kasha, because of the expression that the Baal Amor uses. He uses an expression that appears in the Gemara in Pesachim. That's what we said before. We said yesterday and today. If you perform the bris milah on a baby, the baby dies, then you shouldn't have done the bris milah. You're not even yotzei the mitzvah. It has to be a successful surgery. If the baby dies because of the bris milah, so you're not yotzei the mitzvah. So the Baal Amor says, cooking the water after the bris to make sure the baby doesn't die, doesn't develop an infection and die, is called machshir emilu shel acher amilu. Usually machshir emilu, akoidem amilu. Machshir emilu, you have to have a knife, so you have to carry the knife to the location where the baby is. You have to manufacture a knife. You don't have a sharp knife, so you want to manufacture a knife on Shabbos. So that's machshir emilu. So we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanes. That's Perek HaBlezer the Mila. HaBlezer says, not only are you allowed to do a Mila Bismana, not only are you allowed to do the actual act of Bris Mila, even though it's a Malacha Deraisa, whichever Malacha, either Gozes or Netilas Neshama or Misakin Mana, HaBlezer holds you even permitted to be Mechal Shabbos on the Machshir Mila. So we pass, you're not allowed to. So saving the baby's life is not only Pikoch Nefesh Doicha Kol HaTorah Kula. You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Saving the baby's life by heating up the water afterwards is to make sure that you're Mekayim the mitzvah. It's called Machshir Emilo. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik explained. The Baal Amor may be meant to say, if you're going to do a bris on Shabbos, and you know you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos after the bris to keep the baby alive, because you don't have enough warm water to bathe the baby after the bris. And in the days of the Gemara, they insisted that it's a suffix sakana. So the din is that machshir emila are not derech Shabbos, and if you know in advance you're going to have to be mechal Shabbos for machshir emila to cook up the water, there was no hat in the first place to do the bris mila on Shabbos. Not because of machnas atzma lematzav shal pikoach nefesh, machnas atzma lematzav shal chias yisurim. It's because machshir emila are not derech Shabbos. That's the Baal Amor says that. Baal Amor doesn't say the other two answers. Baal Amor doesn't ask the kasha, but when he words his shita, he says you're not allowed to do the bris because you're going to get involved. Machshir emilu shel achar emilu. That's the lashon that he got from the Gemara Pesachim. The end of Pesachim says like that. Here in Reish Samach Gimel, they knew there's such a thing as hemophilia, that the blood doesn't clot. And there was a machlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramon, when hemophilia runs in the family, it's genetic. When it runs in the family, it can only be carried by the females, or is it carried by the males also? So the Ramah says, the way we know today, it's only carried by the females. It's not carried by the males. But then the Ramah gives, the Mechaber thinks that it's carried by the males also. So if you have two brothers and one of them lost two sons because of Bris Milah, the other brother shouldn't perform a Bris on his children, even though he's not married to the same wife, because he may have hemophilia. So that's what I think the doctors say today, that really the Ramah is right. Hemophilia is only genetic, is only carried by the females, not carried by the males. But the Ramah at the end says, if near the Sufik Nefoshes, he should be Machmir, even by males. But we know today it's not so. So that's a Shaila. If Mesa Baneha Machmas Milo, how many times does it have to happen to repeat itself that it should be considered a suffix sakon? Never about that. You don't know just because one or two children have hemophilia doesn't mean they're all going to have. Some of them may have, some of them. It's the mother's a carrier. Doesn't mean that the child is going to have hemophilia. So that's machloikis in the Gemara. How many times does it have to repeat itself? Betrezim nehav chazaka, betlazim nehav chazaka. If it only happens once that one child dies from a bris milah, that's not even called the suffix sakana. If it happens two or three times, that's a machloikis. So the Gemara paskens two times. Two times is enough to be considered a later suffix. Now they probably have a way to test whether the child has hemophilia. These are the Tanaim. Until recently, they didn't know how to tell. So they had a guess based on chazokas. So that's a big machloikis in the Rishonim, where the base of an machas milah. So the Kollel is learning Nida this year. So Tosfos writes there in Maseches Nida, and Mesa Bana Machas Mila, you never do the Bris Mila period. Even when he's 25 years old, you just don't do a Bris Mila. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, you wait till a baby in Siv Beis, and Reish Samagim is in Beis, Tamtin Ad Sheyigdal Yischazik Kocho. When he's already a few years old, the baby's 3 years old, and he looks healthy like a normal 3-year-old, hemophiliacs also look healthy. Except the Rambam didn't know what hemophilia was. Very strange. That's what they discuss over here. Other Rishonim say you never do the Bris Milah. He can look healthy as much as he want, unless you saw that he bruised himself and it did clot. So then you say he does not have hemophilia. But if he never had any bruises, it could be that he's going to bleed to death. So that's a big question. What do you do when there's a Suffolk hemophiliac? You never do the Bris Milah, or you wait till he looks like he's very healthy. The Pri Yitzchak has a long pilpul about that. Negei l'halacha. Okay, maybe we will stop here. Tomorrow, 12 o'clock is reasonable. Oh, what? Today is what? Today's Wednesday. So tomorrow's Thursday. 12 o'clock, believe that. Okay, good.
Whether you consider about the chances of your defense.